Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino getting you ready for our latest Survivor exit interview, and today we'll be joined by Rourke Luskin, voted out at the latest Tribal Council. I'm sure she will have a lot to say about the circumstances leading to her departure, and Chrissy, and Ryan, and everything from the episode last night. I got into it with Stephen Fishback on the Know-It-Alls last night. Had a little bit of a hurry-up edition of the Know-It-Alls, because I had to very quickly segue into talking to Brad and Monica Culpepper, which I got into last night. So basically, I hung up with Stephen Fishback and went right into talking to Brad and Monica, and that was very fun. Looking forward to you guys hearing that one coming up today. Not the most Survivor 35 talk that you'll ever hear, but a lot of fun stories from Brad and Monica coming up in our recap show. And then Jessica Leese will be joining me on the voicemail podcast coming up this weekend. Make sure you get your calls in. Rob has a website. .com/voicemail or call them in 323-282-RHAP. All right. Looks like that we have Rourke here on the line. We'll patch her in and then we'll get to this week in Survivor history with Jordan Kalish. Rourke, are you there?
Hey, Rob.
Rourke, how are you?
Oh, I'm good.
Good. Well, pleasure to talk to you. Wish it wasn't under these circumstances, but we got a lot to get to from the episode last night.
Yeah.
Of course.
Let's just unpack it all.
Let's unpack. So, of course, we had the really the swing vote, which ultimately was Ryan in this tribal council. You and Allie felt like that he was with you, but ultimately it seems like he sided with Chrissy over the decision that she had that secret advantage that he had sent her from earlier in the game. Does that move make more sense to you now that you know that information? Because I'm sure it must have been puzzling not knowing about the advantage in trying to process all of that.
Oh, for sure. You know, my final words, I say, I think the best Survivor players always have something up their sleeve and can make a move. I'm not going to blame being swap screwed. And now that I know everything and I'm like, oh no, I was swap screwed. Thank you so much. I own nothing. I'm obviously kidding. I have regrets, but, now knowing the whole picture, I mean, as you know, Rob, from playing and viewing and having to talk about it all the time, even though you don't see every conversation, you do see the whole picture, and we don't. And so Allie and I had no idea about that advantage. We obviously, and you know, I unfortunately stepped onto a mat where the most sort of non-traditional pre-swap relationship existed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think Ryan knew stepping onto that mat that he was the swing.
Yeah.
That Chrissy and Allie would not get along and that he was going to have to decide.
We didn't really see in the episode, you know, Ryan give any assurances to your side. How much did he really stick his neck out to tell you guys that he was with you?
Oh, he did a great job. He played us like a fiddle. I give Ryan a lot of credit. And so what the Chrissy and I sitting on a log in that conversation, she posed Ryan as the boot. And so that conversation is literally two people just like having a fake conversation. She had no intention of voting Ryan. I had no intention of voting Ryan. It was so silly. But so Ryan was the fake boot. Allie let him know that he was the fake boot, but that he was okay. And he just spent the whole day moping, sitting around, looking forlorn. And he just played it absolutely perfectly. I give him so much credit.
So it seemed like that you and Chrissy got off on the wrong foot very quickly. And how come that was the case? Because it seems like on paper, you guys would be able to get along.
Yeah, it's interesting. I wonder if she and I crossed paths, you know, in the real world, what our relationship would be. But unfortunately, the moment in time when we crossed paths on Survivor, we were oil and water. You know, so one of the things she said to me in a down moment was, you remind me so much of myself. And that actually, and that then came up at Tribal as well, actually. But, that may have been empty flattery, but I think based on her confessional saying that behind me, I find Rourke the scariest person out here, that may have had some truth to it. And I think that if you believe you're a threat in the game and you see that threat, those threatening qualities in somebody else, you have a choice. you know, do I embrace this person for as long as possible and try and use these threatening qualities together to, you know, move forward? Or do I eliminate this equivalent threat? Mm-hmm. And she chose to eliminate the threat.
So we saw Chrissy struggling in the immunity challenge. And obviously, you know, you were commenting on that after it played out. Was there any part of you during that challenge that you were saying, okay, this is good that Chrissy is blowing it because she's my target and that's going to make my job easier to get rid of her? And so that's why people were not necessarily volunteering to step in and take her spot.
I actually wanted to sit out of that challenge. I am incredibly unconfident with my balance still. And I really, it was not clear. And Ryan, and everyone was like, Rourke, Ryan will be sitting out. I was like, fine. So, I ended up there sort of not thrilled about it. And, you know, you hear me say, like, do you want me to come in? Do you want Allie to come in? And Chrissy had been really sure of her balance skill. And so she kept trying. I personally, as a Survivor fan, like, when is it ever really like a challenge blow that sends somebody home? Like, probably never. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe once in a blue moon, but I'm not a historian. I'd be pressed to find that time. Mm-hmm. So, that was never really my motivation for it. I really think what went wrong in that challenge is that Yawa didn't throw it, frankly.
Yeah.
But that's just my opinion.
Okay, well, and which tribe is Yawa? That's the
one that swapped with Jessica, Mike, and Cole.
Yeah, Jessica, Mike, and Cole. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, TBT, Rob, you loving that Cole said he would throw a challenge.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, let's go back to when you guys were on that healers tribe and Cole was talking to you about Joe and how he had an idol. Did that idea come up of potentially throwing a challenge?
I was desperately trying to get him to throw a challenge.
Yes. And who was saying no, Cole?
Of course.
Interesting.
Because Cole is a competitive person who is so oriented towards like winning is right that it was I think that if I had one more cycle to convince him, if we had swapped at 14 instead of 15, I had a shot.
Mm-hmm.
But, just in the timing, it didn't work out. You can probably see it in that challenge where, right before Patrick goes home with the block.
Yeah.
I'm like so lazy in that challenge. Cause that's the one where I was like, we need to throw. I was always the last person of the mat. You can see it. I'm like so lazy.
What about that block that ended up not being stacked? Was that intentional? Did you see that block?
Oh my God. No, I should have, but once it happened, I should have like dug
kicked
a hole
it.
And buried it.
Yeah.
And kicked it into the jungle.
And the target was Joe for potentially throwing that challenge.
So it would have had to be a 4-2 split between Joe and Mike. You know, if we're getting like really fan fiction, I think the better move would be for Joe and Mike to vote for each other, tell Cole we're going with the blind side, ask Cole to put a vote on Mike, and then the three girls vote out Cole.
Wow. Whoa.
I think that's the better move because if you blindside, if you flush a Joe idol and get Mike out, fine. You have somebody out who was sort of a fish out of water, but then like losing Joe's loyalty is scary.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really want to lose Joe's loyalty. And I really had Dr. Mike. And so I didn't really want to lose Dr. Mike either. And I was much more threatened by what was clearly evolving between Jessica and Cole than by Joe or Dr. Mike. And so I think that really would have been the best case scenario move.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's all just in my head.
Rourke, I thought it was interesting when you were talking with Allie about potentially working together at the merge. You said to her, I have Cole and I have Mike. I thought that was an interesting two names that you picked out. It doesn't sound like that you were necessarily the closest with Cole, certainly.
So Desi was very much my ride or die. And I absolutely knew without a doubt that I could come back to her. And so, and some other things that obviously Healer Beach got, you know, as you know, the winners don't get the story arc. So we got such little time. There was no time to tell these stories. Dr. Mike got very emotional to me a couple times about his homesickness, missing his family, things that has happened in his past. Mike in the early days was very affected by being out there, and I was his sounding board for those feelings. And
you're a healer.
He would come to me. Exactly. And he would come to me with those feelings and then say, I trust you so much. I am watching you develop this bond with Desi and Jessica. You three terrify me, and yet I trust you the most. And I just knew I had Mike. And so I knew I could come back to those three. Joe scared me. I knew Joe. So Joe called me the lying lawyer.
But you're not a lawyer.
He was convinced I was a lawyer.
Yeah.
He was convinced I was a lawyer. It was so bizarre. But so I wasn't sure about Joe, but I know now that Joe is such a straight shooter. He's so loyal. He was very healer strong. That was all genuine. But Joe scared me a little bit, but I knew I could return to Jessica, Desi, and Dr. Mike without a doubt.
Okay. What was the bond that you were able to make so quickly with Allie from the moment that you guys worked together?
You know, she talks about it. Actually, I just watched her secret scene, and
yeah,
she talks about it a little
bit.
Yeah, I think like the way what I've said to her is I was like, you were starving and I was a sandwich. Like she just was really, you know, we get there on, we're on that ship on day one. We're being marooned. Look at the three tribes, like me, Desi and Jessica. If you put us anywhere in the real world, we're going to bond too. And if you look at Ali, Simone and Rimmer, that's a group that you're less sure about their bonding abilities. And
yeah.
So when Ali met me, she was like, oh, thank goodness. I've been like looking for another, you know, young woman to relate to. Great.
And then you guys obviously were able to bond very quickly in the game and start to work together. So as somebody who has, you know, really knows the show, I always like to ask this question. What was one thing that you could not have been prepared for that ultimately you experienced when you were out there?
Well, okay, so I'm going to like dodge your question a little bit, but sort of answer it. So this like falls in line with some of my regrets, even though I believe circumstance had a really profound role in my fate. And one of my regrets comes from an instinct that I learned from, I think, listening to you. Allie and I slept next to each other. Then there was like a bonfire. And then there was Chrissy, JP, and Ryan. And I was like, what is Ryan doing over there? Like, why? I was like, Allie, you claim to be so close with Ryan. What is he doing over there? And then I just didn't do anything with that information. You know, I didn't like click into the next gear and say, Allie, I think we've lost Ryan. And so I think I just like didn't trust my like super fan gut on a couple things that went down. And like I said, I actually don't think it changes anything. I've done a lot of like post-mortem with the parties involved. And I don't think there was any way out for me on Sloth Soko. But in terms of, I mean, we got incredibly lucky. We had great weather. We had decent sleep. We were really comfortable on the sand. It rained for maybe 30 minutes one day. We were pretty fortunate. I would say, honestly, the challenges are horrific. Like you're running them on pure adrenaline. Like you're not doing them on the muscle that you've built in the gym for years. You're running them on your heart pounding like oxygen into your body. Mm-hmm. It's a terrifying feeling. And it like, it also makes you mess up. Like Cole is an incredible swimmer and he did terribly in that swimming challenge before the signpost puzzle, just because adrenaline just got the best of him and he couldn't hold his breath. And so, you know, it makes you complete the challenge, but it also makes you mess up.
Now, Rourke, this was something that came up last night on the Know-It-Alls that people are wondering, do you have this Wentworth upside in you where do you feel like that if you had a second shot at this, could we end up seeing a much different result?
Oh, I mean, just like, obviously, I think we can write that in pen. We can carve it in stone, confirmed.
Okay.
No, I mean, who knows? Absolutely no idea.
What do we need to do? Do we need to bring Miss Survivor back? Is that it?
Oh, please do not start a campaign on my behalf. Oh my God. I mean, I remember saying to Jeff before the game started, I don't even know if we're allowed to talk about that, but I remember saying to Jeff before the game started, like, it's an honor to be nominated.
Yeah.
And yeah. So like getting to be out there was such a joy. You know, Ryan's words when he voted me out were, I know how much this means to you. You're amazing. And I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And like, super fan to super fan, like he and I got why we were there. And what also, it just breaks my heart that I couldn't start with Ryan, because in Josh's, you've seen in Josh's preseason press, like he and I really wanted to work together. Mm-hmm. And so that's a bummer. But, you know, if they want me to put the uniform back on, I would see what I can do.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm just enjoying I'm enjoying my 5-episode arc right now. It's all fine. It's all
okay.
Good.
All right. Well, pleasure talking to you, Rourke. I know you got to run, but would love to be able to, chat at greater length at some point down the road. So all the best.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. To you soon.
I have great insight into the post-merge run.
Well, maybe not this season. Maybe another season. Okay.
All right. Please, that's it. Rob, any chance to talk to you, I would love it.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Take care, Rourke. Bye.
Have a good one. Bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Queen Rourke here on the podcast, and very fun to talk to her. I suspect that we will have some more chatter with Rourke at some point in the future, okay? But that'll have to be it for now. So what we're going to do now is to switch gears and to bring in the This Week in Survivor History quiz. I actually recorded this yesterday with Mike Bloom and Jordan Kalish, and I did not have the opportunity to ask Jordan Kalish about the other huge blind side of Joe Girardi. Unfortunately, we'll have to get his take on that next week. But here is This Week in Survivor History, the quiz with Jordan Kalish. Okay, so let's switch gears and get into probably the real reason why everybody is listening to this podcast, the This Week in Survivor History quiz with the embattled host, Jordan Kalish. Jordan, how are you?
I'm good, Rob, but we went over this last week. I haven't been embattled in a few weeks. I'm doing well. The Yankees might be out. I may have made another scoring error last week, but I think there's a new system, a new scoring system. It's called pen and paper next to my computer, and I'm hoping that works this time.
That's good. Pen and parchment, tried and true. And I was the embattled podcast host last week as we had some technical difficulties after. I was horrified to hear them as Taryn and I were together in person. And then ultimately, there were some problems. I had to use the audio from my laptop. We need not speak of that incident from last week. So both of us...
It didn't sound that bad. I thought it sounded fine.
Okay. Yeah, so now I know how it feels to be embattled as well, so I can relate. That being said, I come in riding a hot streak, Jordan. What was it, 5 weeks in a row now that I have been victorious?
Well, didn't you lose to Paul Asselson? You lost to Paul Asselson.
Yeah, but then I've won 5 weeks in a row after that.
It hasn't been that many quizzes yet, Rob.
Okay, just checking. But a bunch of them in a row.
You've won a decent amount.
A dece amount.
I don't think I've ever said that before. What was that?
Dece, is that? Did you make that up, or is that
short? I guess it's short for decent.
I think he's hinting towards a possible Terry Dietz question coming up on the quiz. He just subliminally threw that out there, Jordan. I caught on to it.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
That voice you hear, he is the co-host of the Never Embattled RHAP B&B podcast. Please give it up for Mike Bloom.
Yes, more like Mike Boom. That's my in lieu of not doing one of those Halloween Twitter handles. Yes. Yeah.
Should I change my Twitter handler to Jordan Ghoulish?
No, change it to Deese.
Yes, the Dees Ghoulish.
Dees Ghoulish. That's what Johnny Fairplay would call me if he was on the podcast.
Okay, all right. So we're going to get into everything. Mike Bloom, a honest-to-goodness Survivor historian, is going to be taking me on into this week in Survivor History Quiz. But of course, we have to thank our sponsor up front, and those are our friends over at Blue Apron. Of course, Blue Apron is, as we all know, the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Blue Apron allows you to create fresh, delicious, home-cooked meals in the comfort of your own kitchen. Blue Apron has over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers. And I don't know if they might be working with Lauren, but she should get in on that, working with a fine company like Blue Apron. Blue Apron is affordable, less than $10 per person per meal. Blue Apron will deliver you a seasonal recipe along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Nicole and I always love getting to spend time together working on our Blue Apron meals, Mike.
I was going to say, you could have stopped right there with Nicole and I like to spend a lot of time together.
Mike, it's the only time we don't fight is when we get together for Blue Apron. That's basically our marriage therapy, is working together on Blue Apron meals.
That's the biggest endorsement I could ever give for that product. It heals relationships.
Yes, because the families that cook together are the families that stay together. That's right. Each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients that can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. Sometimes that's quicker than the This Week in Survivor History quiz, Jordan. Did you know that?
I don't know.
You've been making Dees time so far, I would say.
Yeah, I think we spend so much time on these ads that it cuts into the quiz.
Okay. this week on Blue Apron, you could check out some fried chicken and kale slaw. Get ready, Max. Ooh. Dawson, for that. And then also meatballs and tomato sauce with creamy rice and broccoli. So there you go. Da, 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 da. All right. And Blue Apron's freshness guarantee promises every ingredient in delivery arrives ready to cook, or they'll make it right. Check out this week's menu. Get $30 off your first meal with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/Rob. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. Don't wait. That's blueapron.com/Rob. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. All right. So let's get into the quiz this week. Jordan, what do you have?
All right. Do you want me to explain the rules again, or are we good?
Let's get the 30-second version.
All right. So if you get an answer right without hearing the multiple choice options, you get 2 points. If you get a question right and you do hear the multiple choice options, you get 1 point. Incorrect answer is 0 points. You'll each get 2 questions to yourself before we get to the final round. So, Mike, as our guest, here are the categories that you can choose for your first question. We have Try Mascots, Is Roundabout Fair Play, FUBC, and This Week in Live Know-It-All's History.
Oh, I mean, so many inside references. Feels like we're really like the Patrick and Ally of the RHAP universe, and making so many references to ourselves without people even realizing it. Let's go with This Week in Live Know-It-All's History, because one of them is coming up, coming over to New York, where I currently reside. It makes me feel all warm and tingly remembering those feelings, so I'm hoping to bring about that nostalgic sense to bring me a correct answer.
Yes, Know-It-All is always a great night. I will be there again this year in a couple weeks. So we're going to go to Survivor Millennials versus Gen X. This is from the episode The Truth Works Out Well. And this is actually from October 26, 2016, 1 year ago today. So here is the question. At the Millennials versus Gen X Tribal Council, in which Figgy was voted out, what consequence does Taylor threaten if Adam were to turn on Figtails in favor of Jessica and Ken? So now, Mike, you can hear the multiple choice options, or you can choose to answer before hearing the options.
Give me the multiple choice options. There were a lot of threats levied from Taylor towards Adam throughout the course of their time in the game together, so I want to see if I can, you know, hone in on one of them.
All right. And by the way, Adam was there at this
No, his cousin was, Jordan. His cousin was there.
Yes, yeah, Adam's cousin. I promised Adam's cousin that I would, in a year from then, I would make up a question about that tribal council. So here we go. We have A, the remaining millennials will vote out Adam at the merge. B, if Adam gets to the end, he'll never win with a majority millennial jury. C, nobody, including the Gen Xers, will ever trust Adam again because he'd be a flipper. Or D, Adam will have to become Taylor's butler.
Ooh, well, D sounds like a great pilot that George Costanza might pitch. to CBS if they're looking for a sitcom to fill in their 9:30 slot. I'm between B and C, but I don't know if Taylor is really looking that far down at the end to say that Adam would not win against anybody. I just don't know if Taylor's the type of guy that would look that far ahead. You know,
he definitely seems Taylor is well known for his foresight in all matters.
He knew at least to, you know, how to store mason jars underground to keep them cool and preserved. But I'm kind of revolving around that answer. Again, it was a really incredible night. Many drinks were shared, so I don't know if I have too much of a clear memory about that episode in particular. I'm going to go with, was B the hill and he won't win at the end with a millennial fronted jury?
That was B.
I'll go with B. Why not?
All right, B. So, Rob, let's play the clip this week in Live Know-It-All's history.
You got it, Deese.
Yeah, he could totally flip on us right now, but come emerge, the millennials already have the numbers, and they could look at him and go, what are you doing, man? And they'll just boot his ass out.
Whoa.
All right, so unfortunately, Mike, you're not off to a great start. I am putting a big zero on your score sheet with my pencil and my paper. So I know that you didn't get any points in that question. Yeah, the answer was A. He threatened that right at the merge, the rest of the millennials would say to Adam, what are you guys doing? What are you doing? Why did you vote out Figgy or Taylor? And he would be the one to go. Of course, he does vote out Taylor. It doesn't work out like that. Adam goes on to win the game.
Yeah, see, I told you that he might look ahead, but not too far ahead. At least not 9 months ahead, if anything.
Yeah that's that isn't his specialty. Rob, it is time for your first question. Which category would you like?
In honor of my great friend joining me on the podcast this week, I will take FUBC.
All right, FUBC. Of course, I had to go with a Brad Culpepper question. So we're going to go to Blood versus Water. This is from the episode titled One Man Wrecking Ball. I don't think this was about Adam Ball, but it's from October 23rd, 2013, 4 years ago this past Monday. Which two contestants defeated Brad Culpepper in the Redemption Island duel, eliminating him from Survivor Blood versus Water?
Okay. Let me just think this through for a minute. And yeah, I don't think that he was there for the long. I think I will attempt to answer without a multiple choice.
All right. So what is your answer?
Okay. I'm just trying to talk it through to remember who was there and who wasn't there. I really just in terms of I'm deciding. I know it's John Cody. I know that he moved on, but for me, I'm torn between is it Candace Woodcock Cody or is it Laura Moret that ended up moving on? And I will say, I'm trying to think of who ultimately got eliminated there, and I'm just wasting too much time. I don't want. I got to be respectful of Deese's schedule, so I will go out there and I will say that it was Laura Moret and John Cody that moved on.
All right, so you have Laura Moret and John Cody. Let's hear if you are correct.
John will stay alive. Join Laura. In their quest to get back in this game, Brad Culpepper is out after 14 days.
There you go.
All right, So I have put a big two under Rob's name. It is 2-0. Rob has
actually, Jordan,
lead.
It should be under my name. You might need to under cross Mike's that name. Pull an Aubrey.
All right, I am doing that. I listened to Mike. No, just kidding. All right, so Rob, you have a 2-0 lead. Mike, we have two more categories left. You need a little comeback here. Which category would you like? There's two more left.
I need a little bit of cheer, a little bit of pep in my step. So let me go with Tribe Mascots.
All right, Tribe Mascots. We're going to go to Survivor Pearl Islands, Me and My Snake. This is from October 23rd, 2014, 14 years ago this past Monday, exactly 10 years before the Blood versus Water episode we just talked about. So the question is, what Morgan Tribe member gave Pelican Pete his name on Survivor Pearl Islands?
Ooh, I'm going to take the full two on this. I remember that Rob and I talked about this over the summer, I believe. Pelican Pete might have been, our number three NPC animal character. I'm going to say the guy, Rhino, gave Pelican Pete his name because he is such an animal lover.
All right, Mike, you love your NPCs. Let's see if you're correct.
Rhino has a soft spot for animals, which is great. So Rhino starts petting it, making it feel good, and he's just trying to help it out. So it's pretty funny.
Did you give her a name yet?
His name's Pelican Pete. Our mascot for a little while.
Yeah, that was very easy, Jordan.
I don't know about that. Look, you guys did it. You did a podcast about the NPCs. I think if you hadn't done that podcast, it isn't necessarily an easy question. I think, you know, you have Savage there who gives the confessional. Austin is the one, of course, who's scared of Pelican Pete and maybe you might name him out of fear. But Mike, you have tied up the game. It is 2-2. Rob, there is one category left. Is roundabout fair play? Would you like to hear the question?
Of course, I would love to. I would love to.
Yeah, you don't really have much of a choice. So here's the question from the same episode that we just spoke about in Pearl Islands. What does fair play do that angers Savage while he's raiding the Morgan camp?
Boy, that I could be walking right into one of Deese's old traps here. But I will say
a deception, if you will.
Yeah, deception. He does a couple of things, but I will say that Johnny Fairplay claims that the reason that the Morgan tribe won the challenge they won was because the Drake tribe threw it to them.
All right. Let's hear if you are correct. Play the clip.
He claims he threw the chess checker water challenge. I think that's just nonsense, and I think it's bad sportsmanship for him, little bastard, to indicate that we didn't fair and square win that challenge. So I don't think they did throw it, but just for that little pissant, just take that away from us. It's ridiculous.
Bye, guys.
I love that little bastard in the middle of that quote. And Rob, very good memory. You always assume it's one of my tricks, not a trick question. You are correct. You have a lead now of 4-2.
Wimpy so, little non-leader.
Yeah. I was about to say that makes me the wimpy little non-leader, unfortunately.
That is true. In this quiz, you are the wimpy little
non-leader. I, on the other hand, was a man whore. Man whore, wimpy little non-leader. There's many synonyms that can fall under my name in the great thesaurus of the internet.
Can you be both? Can you be both things? Okay.
I think I can be both, yeah. Okay. Like multiple slots.
Whoa.
Slots. Right. I, on the other hand, was a man whore. Yeah, I got to bring that one back. Roundabout is fair trade with that clip.
Roundabout is fair trade. The great Alex Porzenhauser will live in this quiz forever. So we're going to go to for our final question, and this is a question that you could both earn points on. Rob, as I said before, you have a 4-2 lead. Mike, you have some work to do. We're going to go to The Gods Are Angry from October 25th, 2001, 16 years ago yesterday. So this week in Survivor history, Carl Balancione was eliminated from Survivor Africa after losing a nature quiz tiebreaker to Lindsay Richter. Tonight, we'll be recreating that fateful quiz. Here's how this will work. First, Mike, I'm going to need you to switch seats with T-Bird, okay? So you're not right next to Rob. Are you doing that?
Yeah, sorry, T-Bird. I'm booting you off again. I know you want to have another chance to come back onto the Survivor podcast, but we're going to have to curtail you for now, hon.
Yeah, and if T-Bird was participating in this, all the answers would be in uppercase and shouted at us. So, and you were both given a copy of the Bush Survival Guide, right? Did I give that to you?
No.
I made it through 2000 to 2008. Is that what you mean by the Bush Survival Guide?
Yeah. That is not what I meant, but I guess another mistake that I've made. No scoring errors today, but I forgot to give you the book. But that's all right, because you guys have both seen this quiz before. So the following four questions are the same ones asked to Lindsay and Carl. You'll alternate answering each question. An incorrect answer eliminates you from receiving any more points on this final round. Therefore, either of you can receive up to four or more points on this final question. So,
how do you get more than four?
You could receive up to four.
Okay. I thought you said four or more.
Maybe I did. I wouldn't be surprised if I did. That wouldn't be a decent thing to say, but you can receive up to four, up to 4 points on this final question. So, Mike, you are trailing. So you get the first question and here it is. And I'm not going to go in the order that Jeff Probst went in. And that will become clear if we get into a tiebreaker. So Mike, if bitten by a tick, pouring hot water on the tick will force it to retract. True or false?
Well, that was not only proven correct on paper, I believe it was proven correctly in person when one Lindsay Richter, who got this question correct, did have a tick on her buttocks, to quote Sarge from Survivor Vanuatu. So I'm going to say that is true.
All right. You are correct. You have 3 points. It is 4-3.
Good thing Big Tom was there for that also.
Yeah. He stuck a feather in his cap and he got the tick off. So... The fruit pulp from the dune palm can be helpful in curing which of the following medical conditions? Diarrhea, fever, worm infestation, or minor cuts or abrasions?
I do feel
can
like
we,
that
can we just mention how ridiculous this is, by the way?
Yes, I completely agree. I'm very happy they don't do this anymore, but I had to bring it back. It was too relevant. It was a quiz This Week in Survivor History. This is a quiz about This Week in Survivor History.
Okay. Could you repeat the question one more time, Deese?
Yes, the fruit pulp from the dune palm, we all know what that is, can be helpful in curing which of the following medical conditions? Diarrhea, fever, worm infestation, or minor cuts or abrasions?
Oh boy. I would go with D, minor cuts or abrasions.
D, minor cuts or abrasions. Unfortunately, you are incorrect. So only Mike can receive points on this question. So you finish with 4. Mike, you have 3, and there are 2 more left, which means that if you get these both right, you win.
So that's a tall order, Jordan, asking me any questions about going outdoors. It is not my forte.
Not your forte, but again,
to put another bush.
Again, you're Survivor historian. These questions were asked on a very specific episode of Survivor. So here we go. Smoke from burning elephant dung will keep mosquitoes at bay. True or false?
Oh, now I need to. Can I use my lifeline to call Jillian Larson, see if she has an answer to that?
She would be the right person to go to.
True or false questions, and I had a multiple choice.
Whoever was leading would get that question. That's why I made it second. I didn't know who it was going to be. Okay. So, right, Mike, true or false, smoke from burning elephant dung will keep mosquitoes at bay.
All right, let me think about this. So, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like there's a reason why Jillian wanted that dung. And I feel like it had a multitude of purposes. 9 ways to skin a cat, 10 ways to use elephant dung. And you got to feel like the infestation problem was so bad out in Africa that it's got to be used for something. Why not? The elephant is a magical creature. I'm going to say true.
True. You are correct. You have 4 points. It's a tie game. And you get the final question because, as I said before, once you get one wrong, you're eliminated from this point of the quiz. So
I'd like to play this game officially under protest of the true and false questions to Mike and then multiple choice questions for me.
Hey, that's how it worked. That's how it worked on the Africa tiebreaker as well. I never said it was
but
fair.
It wasn't
just
that Carl got the true or false questions and Lindsay got the multiple choice questions.
True, and I kind of knew you would bring this up, but I didn't know who was going to have the lead going into the final question.
Oh, I think you know. I think you know.
Mike, here's the last question, unless we have to go into a tiebreaker. The African rock python has been known to fully digest a gazelle, true or false?
African rock python eating a gazelle. Well, that sounds horrible, horrifying, but it almost sounds horrifying enough to be true. I feel like they wouldn't come up with, if I'm looking inside the Bushmaster's head that wrote this guide that was not distributed to us beforehand, I feel like it's too outrageous to not be true, and true has led me down the true path throughout the course of this tiebreaker. So why not make it 3 for 3? I'll go true. An African rock python can devour a gazelle.
All right. So if you are correct, you win the quiz. If not, we go to a tiebreaker. True has been the correct answer for the previous true or false questions, and it is correct here. Mike, you have won the quiz, and Rob, you are 0-2 against the Survivor historians.
I guess so. I guess that's what happens when they get true and false questions, and I get multiple choice questions.
Hey, take it up with Probst.
I can't wait until next week when Rob says that Jordan Kalish was suspiciously consumed by an African rock python and will not be doing the quizzes any longer.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Mike, job well done. Good work by you.
Thank you. I mean, I was very lucky that we got, Pearl Islands and Africa questions. Those darn millennials, my own millennials, tripped me up starting out, but I was able to flourish near the end due in part to my knowledge of the African bush.
Yes, yeah. Easy.
I, on the other hand, was a man whore. There we go. Got to make it the third time it's the funniest, right?
Yeah. And Rob, the last time you went up against a historian, you were saying it was unfair that I did Gabon questions, which is what they just covered on their podcast. So always a little bit of complaints, and it wouldn't be this week in Survivor history without a tad bit of controversy.
Yes. Okay. Well, as always, thanks for your hard work, Deese.
Thank you. Deese Kalish, Deese Ghoulish is going to be back and ready next week with another very, very fair, well-worded quiz.
Yes, and Deese Ghoulish, I know that you are beside yourself this week after the Yankees were so close to the promised land. And so
sometimes you're close to winning and you just can't pull it out.
Can't pull it off. Okay. All right. Who are you endorsing? Are you endorsing the Dodgers or the Astros?
I'm not watching, but I guess if I had to root for one of these teams, I'd root for the Dodgers.
Wait, you're not watching the World Series?
I don't watch baseball unless the Yankees are playing.
I mean, it makes
I coach
sense,
baseball. I play baseball, but I can't watch a game that's not a Yankee game. It doesn't do it for me. That's why I actually think I like football better. I'm more of a Yankee fan than a Jet fan, but football really is my favorite sport.
I don't know. This is like one of those Survivor contestants being like, I don't watch a season that me or one of my friends isn't involved on. I just it doesn't pertain to me at all.
Maybe I should pull a Jean Herbert and declare the Yankees the winner.
All right. Follow a Mike Bloom type on Twitter and also check out Mike every week on the RHAP B&B. And then, of course, Jordan Kalish is on Twitter at Jordan Kalish, soon to be at D Schoolish.
At D Schoolish.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much, guys.
All right. Thank you. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, everybody, there you have it. I don't know. That bonus round felt a little wonky to me on that one. And again, that will be officially filed under protest. All right, so that's going to do it for us here today. I'm very much looking forward to you guys hearing the Brad and Monica interview that I recorded last night. That one I thought was a lot of fun to get to catch up with them. And of course, don't forget to get those voicemails in that Jessica Lease will be my guest. RobIsAWebsite.com/voicemail, or you can call them in 323-282-RHAP. And also, if you ever want to send in an email question for the feedback show, survivor@robhasawebsite.com will work just as well. So we'll get into everything there. And then we've got the Wiggle Room coming up this weekend. We will be recording it on Sunday. So if you want to get your wand off submissions in, make sure you have them in by Sunday morning. All of your Spice Girls, Josh and I have been really have been hammered on social media that we did not know what the Spice Girls song was that was sent in. I said it was an original entry. I do feel the least responsibility on the panel for knowing the Spice Girls song. I will say that up front, that it has not been bothering me. But boy, have we been hearing from people, oh, how do you not know that's Spice Girls? How do you not know? What's wrong with you guys? All right, so that's ultimately coming up this weekend. So lots of fun stuff around the corner, and then we'll get ready to do it all over again. Of course, we're getting ready for our next live show coming up in New York City on November 8th. If you want to be there in person, go to robhasawebsite.com/S35KIA, or go to the robhasawebsite.com/events page, where you can also see about our upcoming show in Austin, Texas on December 6th. Thanks again to our sponsor for this podcast, Blue Apron. Save $30 off your first order when you go to blueapron.com/Rob. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.